Good evening. This is Winfrey, and this is our Monday night simulcast conference call on the telephone and on the internet, and an exercise in oneness. And it is now 5:59, and we officially start at 6 o'clock. So for those of you that happen to be listening right at this moment, just letting you know that I'm the author of the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And I started writing that book in the year 2000. And from the year 2000 and 2002 until now, I had a lot of strange things happen to me in my life. And mostly involved with what I call an experience of interdimensional communication. And so the reason I do this show and the reason I do lots of things that I'm doing is that I've come to the idea that it's a rather important thing to share with other people, and that there's aspects of it that have the potential to augment, change, help people's lives. And I'll share a little bit about that in this call today. Before we start the official call, I'd like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas coming up, and that we are going to do a Christmas Eve conference call where we'll probably be doing, having some live channeling and creating a group energy, and sometimes we call it tuning into the Christed energy, which is probably the right language for Christmas, but we see Christ a little bit differently than religions might talk about him, but we'll be sharing that. That's going to be on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And Matthew will be there, Terry will be there, I will be there, and our normal 6 p.m. Matthew call is going to be put off. And Matthew will be joining us at 7. So, God, we don't have very many people on the phone line tonight. Let's see.
There are 6 participants in the conference.
We have 6 people now, and I guess everybody's coming in late. Do we want to know who else is on the call? Let me just see. Anyone else?
All callers are unmuted.
Marianne and Chula Vista.
Marianne and Chula Vista?
Gary and Marianne and Chula Vista.
Gary and Marianne. I just heard Marianne. Marianne and Chula Vista, California. Hi, Gary.
Hello.
Nice to have you. And someone else just checked in. Like to say your name and your city?
This is Andrea in Atlanta.
Andrea. And this is Wynn. People are now all checking in. Would like to say your name and your city.
Wayne in South Carolina.
Okay, Wayne, hi, and someone else is there?
Mary Jo, Klamath Falls.
Mary Jo. Mrs. Wynn, would you like to say your name and your city? And if you're new, you don't have to. You can just listen.
Hi, this is Terry, but I'm going to come back on because I didn't get the moderator pin.
I hope you make it. I hope it's not too busy. If you don't come on... well, I can't conference you. Call Kathy and then she'll
That's okay. No, I can get on.
Okay,
I'll
see
you in a minute.
Okay. This is Wynn. Anyone like to say their name in the city? It hasn't done so. No.
There are 9 participants in the conference.
Well, the reason we do it as a conference call like this is we started out doing this, and that what we're doing is we're working with what I call group energy. And
all callers are muted.
And group energy obviously needs a group. Now, theoretically, we could just create a group energy with a bunch of strangers listening to our call, and you know, if we ever get big enough, probably it'll be overwhelming that that happens. But this is something that I've had to learn how to do. I didn't know how to do it or that it would work. I know that many people create group energy, but they don't usually identify it as such. They just do it. But we are doing it by conscious intention, and what makes this group energy a bit different is that not only are we connecting with each other on this call, but through my years of conversations with these two group souls, the Elohim group and the Ra group, we have learned how to connect with them while we're on this call, or we believe we're connecting with them. There's a lot of evidence that that's true, and so part of this call is not only connecting with each other, but connecting with them, and by connecting with them, we create a reference point for those of you who are listening so that you can learn how to connect with them. And connecting with these group souls has a lot of benefit. And it's a rather subtle thing. It's you know, the more physicalized something is, the more easier it is to make a connection. In other words, when you're standing in somebody's presence, it's very easy to connect. Hopefully it's easy to connect. When you're talking on the phone, it's easy to connect. You have the reference point of their voice, and their voice triggers you into their emotional content, and it triggers you into sometimes the multidimensional aspect of someone. But when you're connecting with the energy of something that has no physical representation, it becomes more tricky. And, you know, some people might listen to this call and say, this guy is totally wacko. He thinks he's connecting with energies with a bunch of invisible things in other realms. Well, that's possibly true. Possibly I'm a wacko and I'm delusional. The problem is that there's a few other people sharing the delusion with me. And not only that, there's a huge amount of stories and phenomena that have been around this particular contact that we've had that makes it pretty compelling and pretty hard to dispense with. Because when one starts connecting with these interdimensional intelligences, energies, things happen in your life. Things happen that are different than what normally happens. And sometimes they approach miraculous or phenomenal. And, you know, I know that I was connecting with these energies before I ever had conversations with them. I had many, many experiences of phenomenal things happen to me, which I couldn't understand how they could happen. And in our group, there's people that have had phenomenal experiences. And I would say that, what is the benefit? I ask the question, what's the benefit of making these connections? Well, you know, I had recently sent an email out to the Message a Day list inviting people to the Christmas Eve call we're going to do, which you all are invited to this Wednesday, and I'll be sure and give you the phone number for that. It's going to be 7 p.m. Pacific Time Wednesday. And as I was writing it up, I also shared a couple of the classic channelings that we've experienced, because as you who check into the line know, that we do something rather unusual. Not only do we have a reference to channeled material, not only do we share the messages and the information, but we do it publicly. We do it right on this line, and they talk to us on this line, and they talk to you. And, of course, again, these are not just voices. These are, as they identify themselves, and I believe it's true, are huge, huge cosmic group energies, and they are compressing themselves into a little voice coming out of a human, and they are keying us in to how it is to work with them. And, of course, working with them means that, number one, you always have a friend once you learn to connect with their energy. And they are real. They're not imaginary. They are real. And that you can feel their presence and learn to connect with their presence 24/7 in the course of your day. But it's a new experience, so it's something you have to work on. And so once you make that connection, you've got a friend. And it's not about worshiping something. It's not about getting on your knees and whatever. They want to connect. Now, one of the things about connecting with them is you have to be worthy. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. In fact, it's impossible to be perfect. And it doesn't mean that you never have, you know, that they're not going to connect with you if you have a lustful thought, or if you have a jealous thought, or you have a mean thought. If you act on those thoughts, they may not connect with you. But those are things that are part of being an animal, and you can process them and move through them and not act on them and just put them in the light, and eventually they don't become so overwhelming in your consciousness. So what is worthiness? Worthiness means that you want to use this connection, if you make a connection, that you desire to use it for the upliftment of others. In other words, you're not going to use it and say, well, now I can make a lot of, you could make a lot of money, but the money has to come as a byproduct of your service to other beings, not trying to pull this kind of connection to make something happen for yourself. Except this happening for yourself is serving others. Because in this realm, that is how you earn your ticket out of this realm, by the way you're of service to others. So, being worthy, just having the intent of being of service and being serious about it, that attracts their attention to you and says, okay, they'll work with you. And so you feel a presence, you feel an energy. It's kind of like if you get really good at it, it's like being loved, but not by necessarily a romantic partner, by an energy that you wouldn't normally see. It wants to love you. It wants to make you feel loved, have the experience of being loved and empowered. So that's one plus of connecting with these group soul energies. Another plus is that I haven't died yet, so I can't say for sure this is true, but they've said it's true, and it makes sense. Since these energies are not in this realm, and since they exist independent of physical existence, that if you make a good connection with them, you're going to connect with them when you die. And eventually you're going to die. And so that's a good connection to have, because they're very loving and helpful, and they will, I'm sure, be of great assistance at that time, and probably of great assistance in future lifetimes that you might have, but once that connection is made. And the third connection is that things in this realm manifest from other dimensions first, and then download into precipitation in this realm. And that each of us individually is kind of a cosmic creator, and we each have a little bit of energy on the other side that we can access, and through, we can access it through our intention and cause things down here to shift, or something in our life to shift, or someone to shift. Well, if you start connecting with these group soul energies and you get them on your side, then when you make an intention, then suddenly you have lots and lots of help helping you to precipitate that intention into physical reality. And of course, the stipulation here is that it has to be for the highest good of all concerned. And so they're not responding to self-serving things. But of course, they could respond to, like, helping you heal yourself or helping you create abundance so that you're in a better position to be of service here. They can't do it, like, just... those of you, you have to be around this for a while to kind of grasp this intuitively. It's not like they do it for you. It's like the way they described it was like they can lubricate. They can see, it's about love. Love is lubrication. It's like oneness. So when you want something to happen, what you need to do is attract people to you that you feel one with, that they feel one with you. So they're supportive of what you're doing. So by calling in these energies, it pulls in an energy that helps create the oneness and the support from others around you. And so that's another benefit. And that is one of the things I was going to talk about tonight. In fact, because we have somebody that's been working with this for probably over a year now. Her name is Maya, and if Seth is listening, and I hope we get this right, he's supposed to call Maya. Maya, you should hang up and let him call you, and he's going to patch her in, because she's had kind of a lot of incredible experiences concerning kind of what we're talking about. And I used to have these experiences years ago more directly. And I learned a little bit about the way realms interact when I was in the midst of having these experiences. Because, how do I describe this? I used to travel a lot. I used to hitchhike a lot years ago. And hitchhiking was one of the greatest teachers I ever had, because it was easy to see for me the connection between my intention and precipitation. And I didn't even know what was going on in the other realms. It was all a mystery. I just knew that I would think something, I would put myself out somewhere, and amazing things would happen. And it happened day in and day out. Chance meetings. I think at one point I talked about some of them. I sound like Maya's on the line, right?
Yes, I'm here.
You're there? Okay, Maya, well, let me just keep talking a bit, and I'll get you in the mood. So I was hitchhiking around, and at the time I was hitchhiking, I was asking everyone their astrology sign, because I was doing astrology charts, and I learned that when I would get rides, it would be on astrological cycles, and it was kind of blowing me away, because one day I'd get an Aries Taurus picking me up, and they'd drop me off, and I'd be waiting for an hour and a half, and then another Aries Taurus picked me up, and then I would be... I remember sitting on the steps in New York City doing astrology charts and quickie readings. I wasn't doing charts. I had what's called an ephemeris, which lists the position of all the planets. And I was sitting on the steps And, of course, everyone was a hippie then, and it was kind of cool to be a little bit outrageous. And so I would just be doing charts for readings for people that were walking by. And I noticed that the people that would stop would have the same signs and sometimes the same birthdays in a row. Two people, two or three people with exactly the same birthdays. And, you know, I don't want to tell the whole story, but I just knew, I learned without a shadow of a doubt, the evidence was that when I allowed myself to go into what I called chaos or randomness, that I could start seeing cycles that other people didn't have a clue were existing. And it was like I became the center of the universe, and all these things would revolve around me very quickly. And there was a connection to it, to the chaos, and the chaos of not knowing where I was going to be or just letting myself, my consciousness, be loose. So about a year ago, maybe over a year ago, I was in Northern California, and I met a woman named Maya Seebach, who came to one of my talks. And I drove her back from the talk, and I learned that she was living in her car at the time, and that she knew people, but she wasn't connected. You know, she knew people like they knew her, she knew them, but there was a division. They saw her in a certain way, and she was also, how would I describe it? She was in a little bit of fear. She didn't know where she was going to park her car. She was also very intuitive, and I would say the word might have been scattered. And she started coming into our conference calls, and she started noticing some patterns that when she would come into the call, something would shift in her energy, and something would occur that was out of the normal pattern of the things that were coming to her. And, you know, if we're going to tell the story, Maya, we should go back to Marin County. She's in Hawaii right now. Are you there, Maya?
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
So, why don't you describe what your life was like? Not too long, because we want to get to the rest, you know, the current stuff, but describe, like, in an overview, what your life was like in Marin County.
Well, at the time when you have met, you and I have met, I actually had just lost my job at the spa as a massage therapist. And I was looking forward to the necessity of living in my van and maybe improvising massage here and there wherever anybody needed it. Then eventually, starting to get onto your conference calls regularly, I have begun to manifest more and more clients and a job that at that time seemed like the greatest job in the world is that I have been a housekeeper in Marin with a very wonderful couple, and I have actually begun to learn because I feel that until then I was simply the subject of energies, and whatever people have created for me, I have tried to go with the waves and the flow. And not necessarily knowing whether if I want it or I don't want to go in that direction because I have not understood what was going on for me, with me, and around me.
Okay.
Yes, Queen, you're probably not going to have to bring it out of me.
Okay, I'll bring it out of you. So I remember, you know, shortly thereafter when we first met, you were living in your van, and This is before you got those jobs in Mill Valley and in Sausalito. You were living in your van, and I felt your fear. And I mean, one of the things that I know in consciousness is that what you are feeling, you can create. So if you're feeling afraid, you can create something to be afraid of, okay, or attract something. And, you know, I remember when I was in Los Angeles, there was a guy I knew, haven't seen him for a long time, his name was Star, and he lived in his van. But he was so cool that even when the police stopped him, they liked to talk to him because he was so uplifted. He was a Hare Krishna, and he and I were good friends. But I noticed that I felt like, geez, if I was living in my van, I'd get in trouble. I'd feel self-conscious. I'd feel like people were looking at me and wouldn't want anyone to see me get out of it. And he was just like manifesting all this light energy around his van and parking it all over the streets of LA. And I knew that Maya, especially being a woman, would be, especially if she was afraid, could get herself in trouble. So I got into the habit of calling her and just cheering her up so that she could, stay above the waterline of fear, so to speak. And I knew that that
was
really...
That has triggered a lot of synchronicities, by the way.
Pardon me?
Because I remember one day I completely ran out of gas, and I knew that I cannot stay at a spot for too long because the police is going to ask for my identification. And I had been on the line listening to one of your calls, and then you eventually... heard me out that what my concern is, and happened to be that Diane and Wesley were in town, and they filled up my tank completely with gas.
I remember that.
So that was the synchronicity, because they don't even live near where I live.
Mm-hmm. But by the way, I should mention that I would identify Maya as being an indigo child. And an indigo child... or an indigo adult, I guess. I won't call you a child at this point. But an indigo is someone that comes into this realm from a high place. And then when they're here, they don't know what to do with themselves. They don't know where to fit in. And because once they're here, they don't remember anything. And until they connect with a higher purpose in their life of some sort, they're just strung out. And so a lot of young people... And young adults are indigos, and some of them have ADD, some of them use drugs, and some of them live as vagabonds, because by being a vagabond, you're not pulled into the matrix. And of course, it's hard because you're pulled into the challenge of survival, but you're not pulled into the lower matrix that it's so easy to get trapped in, where you have obligations and you have all these things, but you don't have a higher purpose attached to it. And I really identified with Maya because I lived a lot of my life in that space where I didn't have a way to ground myself living in one place, having a regular relationship, because I felt like there was some purpose I had. Of course, I was right, but I didn't know what the purpose was at the time. I said, there's something that doesn't feel right to do that. It doesn't feel right. If I do that, it'll turn me into a lifetime commitment, and I won't ever do my purpose, because now I will have this other purpose to do. So I saw that in Maya very well, that she actually has a very, very high energy, very intuitive, picking up all these psychic impressions. Sometimes it drives her crazy and drives the people around her crazy, but she didn't know how to turn all of that into a purpose, except to be a housekeeper or a massage therapist. Now, I wouldn't say that she's figured out how to manifest her purpose yet. I wouldn't say that. But I'd say that she has come a long way into understanding her potentials. And so she went through all these times where she was traveling in California, living in this person, this housekeeper, and, you know, I kind of stuck with her till she found a job somewhere. And then she ended up moving to Hawaii. And she moved there because someone offered her a job at a hostel or a bed and breakfast, and that she took all her money and flew there, ended up there, and I think in 2 or 3 weeks she found out they didn't have any money to pay her and that it was over. Is that correct?
Well, the story is that the job I have initially come here for didn't fall through. And I felt like, you know, I spent all my money coming here, and it was almost like a fluke because they didn't have the money to manifest the live food deli that they promised. And from then on, I had to improvise. And what was happening is that each time before I would make a move, I would get into one of your conference calls and make a request. Because over the 1.5 years that we have been knowing each other and I have been connected with your work is that I have discovered that I can have conversations directly with the Elohim and the Ra, and it feels to me more, I can feel it stronger when I am on your conference line. It's almost like having a hotline to God, and whenever you punch in the phone number, you're dialing God. And I could feel that this energy has been really carrying me. Now, in the very beginning when I met you, it was overwhelming because it was like almost like levitating out of my body. I could directly feel the energy. And eventually that is kind of, I got used to it, and it wasn't exactly like I could feel it. But to call your conference line actually made it conscious to me. I knew that I was in touch. In California, I had the experience of driving my van that was barely moving up a hill, and all of a sudden, if I connected with the Elohim and the Ra, all of a sudden the van started driving itself, like the wheel. Steering wheel was moving itself, and the gas and the brake pedals, but especially the gas pedal was really, really strongly. It's almost like an invisible leg would be pushing that pedal. And that happened to me several times. Then that has really encouraged me that they want to prove me that they exist and they are real. When I moved to Hawaii, besides that, manifesting one job after the other, and I'm actually working with the fourth bread and breakfast in 2 months, is I had to manifest to move from one place to the next. I had to manifest a meal because I had only $3 in my pocket, and there was no job available. Nobody was actually, I couldn't even beg because people around here don't really have cash. But what happened is that if I put in a request, somewhere I found an avocado or a bag of tortillas came on my way. And the hitchhiking, whenever I get on the line and put out my hand, it doesn't take 30 seconds and somebody is going to stop for me. And what I have made of it is hitchhiking is great because there is a large amount of people are in a very short amount of time, are exposed to your energy as they are passing you by. And the probability of somebody feeling called upon stopping for you and responding to your need is greater than when you are sitting at home and waiting for another job or somebody to show up, or you have something specific in your mind, you want to receive a call from someone. That's much harder. But what I have learned to for myself about it is that the spirits cannot actually move a stone. They need to plant the thought of moving the stone into somebody else's head. They need to connect with the person, and they need to inspire that person to move the stone. Also, the spirit cannot catch a mouse. It has to plant the thought into the head of the cat to, that there is a mouse there, and go out in that direction, and you're going to catch it. And that's what I feel is happening when I'm hitchhiking. There is a higher probability that somebody will be receptive to the spirit moving energy and making the request that, hey, you can feel cold now. This person is hitchhiking, and you could pick it up. And it even
I wanted to make clear, like, there was a little phenomena that was going on with you, and I wanted to make sure that people understood it. And that would be, she would be there hitchhiking, and nobody would be stopping, and sometimes it would be late at night, and she was a little scared, and she doesn't have a car, so she's using hitchhiking to get from one place to the next, which again is not great for a woman. And so, Maya started to call the replay line for our conference calls. In other words, we're on a conference call right now, and it's being recorded, and also the Matthew call on Wednesday is recorded. In fact, some of you might want to try this as an experiment. When you have something really important that you're about to do, or someone that you're going to meet, or looking for a job, call the replay line and listen to the call. Because what Maya found was she would call the replay line and immediately a car would stop. And she kept doing it over and over again, and they wouldn't stop, and then when she called the line, they would stop. Now, if I was going to translate how this works in the kind of language that I use to explain this, is that when we're on this call, all of us on this call are creating a group energy. Right now, we are meeting each other in other dimensions. Right now, right at this moment. And when I say it, it gets stronger. And then we're inviting these two group souls that we've come to become familiar with. And if you are interested in learning more about it, you definitely should read my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. You should go to the website, conversationswithmygirlfriend.com. You should sign up for my message a day, messageaday.net, because all of these things keep that energy flowing towards you. And basically, most humans are compressed, and they're compressed feeling like they are separate, they're lonely, they're alienated, they're in a small little box, and they're just moving in that box, and that everyone has the potential to be far more expanded, but they need reference points because it's not normal. The compression is a habit, and the compression is a habit that probably goes for many people many, many, many lifetimes. So now you have to break a habit. You have to do something different. And so on these calls, for many people, there is the reference point of this expanded consciousness and the connection with these two group souls. So what happens is Maya is standing there, and she calls the call, and they tell us the energy is nonlinear. In other words, you don't have to be on the call live to get the energy. You just call it, and you can tune in. And, of course, that goes probably for the people who are doing light body to listen to one of those transmissions, and it centers you into a space of expanded matrix and oneness. So when somebody drives by and you're in an expanded matrix and you're in this no longer compressed, suddenly your energy is expanded into the freeway. And so people are driving by, and something inside goes, that's a nice person, or that would be a pleasant person to drive with, or, you know, it's dangerous for a woman to be out there. I'm going to give her a ride. It's like something happens that makes that person pull over on a very intuitive level. Now, I used to do something where I noticed this over and over again, and other people said the same thing. Well, I would go into a restaurant, and I would, it would be empty, and I would sit in the restaurant, and I'd make everyone happy and smile at the waitress and whoever was there. Suddenly, people started walking into the restaurant, and before I left, it was often quite crowded. And I noticed this over and over again, to say, you know, I think I am doing this. And that the public is very intuitive. When they walk by something and there's a really positive energy, it hits them, not on a conscious level, but it hits them and it makes them make a decision. I remember years ago, I was selling sunglasses at a fair, and I had these two guys working with me, and there were all these people passing by, and the two guys were talking to each other, and I said, well, how come you're talking? And they said, no one's buying today. And so I remember I told them, wait a second, we're going to switch this. Look, I told them, I want you to look out towards the crowd and expect that people are going to walk up. Now, I didn't know what was going to happen. I just said that. They both turned towards the crowd, and immediately, instantly, people started walking up, and there was a crowd around the space, instantly. And that's how fast energy manifests, in a public situation where people can feel your energy. Now, of course, there's many, as Maya said, there's many circumstances where people can't feel your energy, at least looking at you and feeling it project into their space. And it's more challenging in those times, and it takes longer. I mean, I've learned, if I want to really, really connect with somebody, even a business or a relationship, sometimes instead of calling them up and being professional and talking to them professionally, I just walk into their space. I walk into their office. I make a circumstance where I know they will feel my energy. In other words, if you're looking for a job and you can do this, and you can, I mean, if I was looking for a job, I would go on the conference line and I would play, I would listen to the conference call or something, and I'd walk in, because that takes me out of the fear of meeting someone, the fear of loss, and the fear of getting rejected. And suddenly, you walk in. It doesn't mean it's going to work every time, and it will work if you learn to tune into the energy. But you can't do it like a ritual and say, okay, you have to be on these calls enough to feel the energy. You have to kind of immerse yourself in it, because if you're listening for the first time, you may not feel the energy. You may or you may not. Maybe you're still in your mind, you're still evaluating, and it sounds like we're a bunch of wackos, and you don't know what to do with it. Well, this is definitely worth something study. Definitely worth reading my book, listening to the channelings, reading my story, because within the context of all of this is the energy of these two group souls. And more. I mean, I don't even, you know, I can't see it any more than you can, except I've had 6 years of asking them questions and seeing the synchronicities and seeing them heal people, or seeing healings take place as a result of the interactions. So I know that if you keep paying attention to it and you remain open, not to believe, but remain open, there's a high chance that you will get it, and that something will happen in your life that you'll know you made a connection. Again, you have to be open to it. You have to pay attention. You have to read it. You have to listen to tapes. and you have to be worthy, which means you have to have, you know, a desire to be of service to others in any way you choose. But the way they operate is, it's kind of like not much different than going to a beautiful music concert where you sit in the audience and the energy rubs off on you. They have an energy that rubs off, and it's subtle. It's like, if you look in your heart right now, you might feel an upliftment in your heart. You might close your eyes and feel a space in your head. You'll feel lightness. You might feel this energy moving through your body if you give it permission to happen. It's subtle. It's subtle, but it's very real, and it's consistent. And when you get it, you can count on it. And, you know, it's my contention that this is how religion got started. And one of the things about these energies is that they honor your free will, so you have to ask. If you don't ask, they won't mess with you because they'll scare somebody. You have to prepare yourself. You have to trust them. You have to know that it's positive. And to do all that, you have to study the work a little bit. If you don't, you're being foolish because there are very negative forces out there, and you can't trust me, you can't trust them. You have to be open to the possibility and do your due diligence. And if you do that, there's a good chance, very good chance, that you're going to make a connection. And it's 6:45 right now. Maya, do you have anything else you want to say about all of this?
Yeah. Right now I am in Kona on the beach, and while you have been talking, I have manifested some doors open, actually one specifically. So because dolphins go in pods, I assume it must have been a shark.
I'm sorry, what did you manifest?
A dorsal fin. That was a dorsal fin swimming around me. I'm just very close fin to the water.
Okay. You know, I think tonight, Terry, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
I don't think we're going to do an official channeling tonight. I'm going to have people wait till Wednesday night and come to our Christmas Eve channeling. And if you're listening, we're not going to be on the radio. You'll have to call the conference line and get your pencils out. If you're going to be alone or with your family, I think this is going to be an extraordinary energy, and we'll hold the energy for Wednesday night when people are just so open and ready. And it's part of it, you know, part of feeling this energy is being open. Part of being open is clearing yourself from other things, clearing yourself from obligations, family, although your family can listen in if you like, jobs. You know, one of the great things about Christmas, even though it's commercialized and that the idea of Jesus is somewhat, how would we say it? Maybe compromised from the original intent of the higher forces of these group souls. But nonetheless, in spite of all of that, there's something about the vibrations that get a little more sacred. People are a little more quiet. They're a little more caring. They're a little more open. So it's a great time to do something that can flow with that openness and make a sacred energy that you all can feel and that you all can connect with. So that's going to be at 7 p.m. Pacific time. Matthew's going to be there. Terry's going to be there. Matthew is the person who channels on our Wednesday night call. And the phone number is 218-936-1100, and the PIN is 375 1.25 pound. And, you know, we have a couple more minutes. And let's take a minute to just feel the energies. I'll stop talking. And, you know, they don't have to talk. They don't have to talk to us to feel their energies. And for those of you that are tuning in, we're working with two soul groups. One is the Elohim group and one is the Ra group. And if you can imagine, they both exist as billions or millions of individual souls teamed up. And that one of the things they do is they help planets at lower levels of evolution. So, as we create a group energy amongst us all, they can feel our group energy, or they can see it. If that's, see may not be the right word, but I use the word see. And they can, if you invite them, they can come into your space. And so for those of you that are open to that, we're taking a moment and allowing that to flow. And you can direct that energy through your body. You can direct it and ask it to help heal anything that's out of balance in yourself. You can ask it to create an anchor in your space so that you can connect with it in your own environment. You can ask it questions, and sometimes you'll get an intuitive flash and the question will be answered. If you're more sensitive, you shut your eyes, you may see light around your third eye. Okay, well, it's 6:51, and it's time to say goodbye to our VBS audience. I'll give you our replay lines. This is another phone number. If you want to hear these calls, you know, it's not so much to take them for the information. Take them for a meditation. Take them for an opening of your vibrations, because it happens on our work, and that if you tune into it, you can uplift yourself. And the phone number is 218-936-1005. And the PIN on our Monday call is 37525 pound. And then we have a Wednesday call with Matthew Edwards. And the PIN is 88261 pound. 88261. So, you're welcome to listen to those, and if you happen to be hitchhiking, you might get rides faster. That's Maya's experience. She's been our hitchhiking tester on this, and it works. But anytime, I think, particularly when you're in a public circumstance and you want to bring in a higher energy to help something happen, that you might try listening to a call and see if you can manifest that. And of course, if you do and you want to share it, email me and maybe we'll have you on our show sometime. And Terry, we didn't do a channeling, so we're saving it for Wednesday night with you and Matthew both. Both of you, we think, we don't know until it happens, but both of you may be available to bring some messages from our respective sources on Christmas Eve. I think it's going to be a very special... Huh?
All right.
Does that sound good?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? I'm going to stop the recording.
Press. This conference is no longer being recorded.
And we'll say goodbye to everyone that's listening on BBS, and thank Seth for patching in Maya and thank Maya for coming on tonight and sharing with us all. And we'll see you all Wednesday, those of you on BBS. And those of you that are on the line, we will call in the light and put in our intention request, guided intention request. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy to our bodies to the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy, a merging of all parts of us that penetrate the veil, that are fluid, that are mobile, that we can join with each other and invite those sources, the Elohim group and the Ra group, and they've already been here, and they're already paying attention to us, invite them formally to be with us, and to help us all on our individual manifestations for the highest good of all concerned, and service to others. So I'll open up the line, anyone that wants to make a request or put something in the light.